Bear on, Bears fans. Another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer in the building. Lance Briggs doing the mimic game because apparently I started the podcast the same. And Lance, are you there, Lance? You look like you've been out in the sun a little bit, my guy. You look a little unlockable. No lights? What's going on over there?
Listen, it is summer in Arizona, so yes, it is. The sun's out and it's beaming every day. However, the lighting is just bad here. We're studio's under construction. You can see there's some boxes here and stuff.
Yeah. So
we gotta work through this. That's all.
That's all right. That's all right. We got the voice of Lance Briggs from behind. You should get like one of those voice changers on there, so it sounds like you're doing like the when you're what's like the FBI documentaries and stuff, but they don't want to reveal who the person is.
Oh, so, they just do the silhouette.
They got the silhouette and the deep voice.
I believe that at the end of the day.
Oh, that's
I could have made that tackle, and I should have made that tackle, but I didn't.
I love that.
I wish I knew how to do it. I got a bunch of buttons on here. Hey, we got to get into some football talk because it's a very interesting list was released over the weekend. I believe this came out later in the day on Friday. Actually, maybe early Saturday, one or the other. And we got three Chicago Bears on CBS's top 100 list. Two of the Bears, I'm not going to lie, I'm very okay with the placement, but I believe that there is one Bear that is being a little bit disrespected and another Bear that's just being outright snubbed on this list. So we got to talk about that and more coming up. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Everything been good, Lance? How you been, my guy? Everything going well for you?
Listen, life is progressing, you know, and it's progressive in a positive manner. So I'm happy, you know, the fam's happy. I'm happy. What more can you ask for?
What more can you ask? Let's make Bears fans happy by going through this list. How about that? Let's do that a little bit. As we got our top 100 players in the NFL, as CBS predicts, Pat Mahomes, best player in the league. I don't have much of a gripe on that. What I do love about this list that I will say, most of this list I actually agree with for the most part. A lot of love to defensive players.
Okay.
Myles Garrett, second best player in the NFL. Would you agree with that?
Hard to argue. There's arguments for. There's always going to be arguments for somebody else. But if there's arguments for, then shoot, he's deserving of that top two or top three placement.
A lot of defense in this top 10. You got TJ Watt coming in as the fifth best player. They got Micah Parsons, ninth best player. Nick Bosa is the 10th best player. So a lot of love to the defense out here. I think we're seeing that play out on the field as well. A lot of really good defenses in this.
I'm not going to argue with that. You know I'm not going to argue with
that. You got no argument for the defenses being there. Well, let's talk about this. Where our player comes in, 34th, Jalen Johnson makes this list. Now, as far as this goes, right, 34th, some people might be like, well, that's a little bit low. It's pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you. As you go through every single player ahead of him, there's not a ton of argument. But even looking at just the cornerbacks, he's the fourth best cornerback on this list. They have him listed as the fourth best cornerback in the NFL, only behind Sauce Gardner, who came in at 12th, Patrick Surtain, who came in at 25th, and Trent, always in his McDuffie, coming in 30th. Would you agree with that assessment of where Jalen Johnson ranks as far as the cornerback position alone? Do you think that he's a top five corner in this NFL?
He had a season that was as good or better than all the other guys that are on that list, you know? And so when you look at this, when you look at the top 100, you know, it's based off of somebody's criteria and somebody's biased opinion. So, you know, and that could be based off of the talent. You know, I think this guy may not have had a great year, but he's the talent. He's going to bounce back, that type of stuff. But if you talk about their performance from the previous year, I think Jalen Johnson should be first on that list.
Oh, you think Jalen Johnson is the best DB in the NFL?
I believe he had arguably one of the best seasons of any DB in the NFL last year.
I love what Jalen was able to do last year. The pass breakup numbers were already there. The one thing that we were looking for from him was the interception numbers. He was already the best in the league as far as pass breakups and stuff like that. Yeah. But when you add the interceptions into that, it did vault him into a conversation that we really couldn't have about Jalen Johnson coming into last season. Right? Like it was kind of like he's top 20, but like he don't take the football away.
Yep.
So now that we're here,
Montez Sweat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Taketh the ball away.
Taketh the ball away. So I love that though. Listen, I'm not mad at that. I wasn't upset at the three people that were put ahead of him. I feel like Trent McDuffie was, you know, Super Bowl caliber, was dominating that the entire season defensively. Patrick Surtain, that Denver Broncos defense was kind of the only thing that really was there, and it was really just Patrick Surtain. And then Sauce Gardner, of course. But the one thing I will say to your point, Lance, is this is an expectation because number 20th on the list. And so this is what they think is going to happen this season is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers played 4 minutes last season.
He sure did. He played four tough, exciting minutes.
The best part of it was when he ran on the field with the flag. You know what I mean? It is an estimation of what they think the season to come is. Mm-hmm. So I guess there is, right? You do have to kind of look at everything with a grain of salt in that way. And as for Bears fans, that may be the better way to look at it because as you continue to go through the list, Lance, there's a gap from 34 to the next Bears player. Montez Sweat comes in 73rd on this list. They have him listed as the 9th best defensive end in the NFL. So still top 10. So they make Micah Parsons a linebacker on this, which he plays everywhere. He is a linebacker, but we know where he's most dangerous.
We know what he's at.
On that line, coming off of that edge, right? So Myles Garrett comes in at 2, Nick Bosa at 10, Max Crosby at 11, Chris Jones at 14, Trey Hendrickson comes in 33, Danielle Hunter 35, Aiden Hutchinson 47 from the Lions, I believe 11.5 sacks for him, and then 55th, DeMarcus Lawrence. Micah Parsons was, of course, 9th on the list, but they don't list him as a pass rusher, more of a linebacker. 73rd, then, is Montez Sweat. Do you feel like Sweat's getting a little bit slighted on this list because it's the first time we've seen him have this big of a season? Or is this him more, you need to take that as that was him making his mark on the league. He's going to be able to do this moving forward.
I think it's more for the latter. And again, this list is made based off of somebody's criteria of who they think are going to be those players. And maybe Montez is a new name for them. He's like, okay, you know, he came out, he's popping a little bit, but he's young. Like he's a new name. Let's see. Yeah. He's got room to grow.
There's not that trust yet.
Right, right. So, you know, I mean, you know, this guy's it's a new name. You know, he did some good things. All right. He did some good things, but I want to see him do great things and he'll move up this line really fast.
Is there somebody on this list that right now you would place Montez Sweat above as far as just the defensive ends? Is there somebody that you see on the list that you're like, no, Montez already has surpassed that guy?
Well, I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, I mean, he certainly is. He's arguable, you know, with him, especially coming from one team to another and having 6 sacks for the Commanders, coming over to the Bears and having another 6 sacks, you know.
It's, yeah, 6.5.
Right. It's unheard of. You know, people don't do that, you know. And so I think he's a staple. He's certainly one of the top pass rushers in the NFL.
I know that you didn't have to spend in your career with the Bears, right? You didn't have to have that kind of switch up. But how difficult do you think that would be? Like, you spend half of a season on one team, you've got all of this scheme, you know exactly what you're doing, and then now it's just like, well, we traded you, go figure out what they're doing over there. And even though, right, similar styles, but different play calls and stuff like that, how difficult is that adjustment? Because I think that even speaks to where he might need to move up the list.
Well, for a defensive lineman, like a defensive end, the transition is going to be easier than, let's say, a linebacker going from a 3-4 to the 4-3 or a 4-3 to a 3-4,
right,
you know, something like that. because the base principles for defensive end aren't going to change much. They're going to change at all. You know what I mean? They're going to be the same. So, you know, he's either getting a down block, a reach block, or a pass set, you know? And so those things are universal for those defensive ends. So I, as far as the transition, you know, getting used to the new city and your teammates and all that stuff, but getting your hand down, playing defensive end on a new team that you know, go from 1 week to another, you'll be putting your hand down within the first week or so, as opposed to if you were a quarterback having to come and learn a new system, it's going to take a week or two for you to learn the system, or we're really going to have to draw back on what we're doing offensively, you know, and really make this vanilla in order for you to run this offense in that following week.
I think what's so interesting too, and the part that excites me about this upcoming season, is what we see on the other side of the ball. Can you speak to how much more fun, I guess, it is to play defense with a lead? Because that's something in both cities, Montez really didn't have an opportunity to do. The offense really wasn't clicking when he came here for the Bears. I mean, I guess the Detroit game, we could say he got to pin his ears back a little bit, but he got 6.5 sacks here in Chicago and got 6 sacks up in Washington. And for most of his career, he's never been able to just. We got to leave and go.
Yeah, I mean, but you never know what's going to happen in the league. You know, a lot of these teams, you know, you don't have a lot of seasons like the Kansas City Chiefs had a few years ago, you know, with their offense and stuff like that. And you never know play out. Hopefully he does have a season this year. We're all hoping he's had a season this year where we're always playing from a lead, you know, and which allows you to really pin your ears back and say, okay, let's get after this quarterback. And can continue to create these takeaways, these sack fumbles, forced fumbles, and creating those interceptions on the back seven.
What changes most when you're playing with a lead versus, and I'm not even talking about like blowing somebody out, just like when you're up 7-0 or 14-0, what changes in the defensive mindset?
Well, I mean, it depends on what quarter you're talking, you know what I mean? Because when you're 7 to 14 points up, you're still working all of your offensive offensive scheme, you know. Now, if you're more than 14 points up, it changes what you have to do offensively. You know, now listen, we've got to get some points on the board. We have to move the ball. Typically, we start to move away from any kind of running of the ball. We want the clock to stop. You know, if you catch the ball, we got to get out of bounds. You know, so that also opens the door to specific plays to try to get guys out of bounds, you know, get them closer to the line of scrimmage. So, you know, and what it also does is it starts to make you one-dimensional. If you're one-dimensional for a defensive lineman, we're either going to dial up the blitz or we're going to get to the quarterback with our four and make sure that we have a one-on-one with our best pass rusher on one of their offensive blockers. And if we get that, we feel like we can win at least 60% of the time, then that makes the game a lot of very rough for your opponent.
Let's see if Montez can climb this. Love that. I think I'm going to love what we're going to see from him this season, because I think he will have more opportunity to pin his ears back and really be able to look in and try to attack these quarterbacks more than he's ever been able to do in his career. I don't think since he's been in the league, Washington has had any kind of offense. I don't think he played with Kirk. That's the last offense they really had where it was like, I can go out there and just attack. And I think he was after Kirk Cousins was already in Minnesota. So he really hasn't had that opportunity. Here's where, to me, Lance,
okay,
some of the disrespect comes in. Because another drop off. There's another right gap here, right? And there is a bias, right? There is a bias, like you said. There's some preferences here. But they go down to DJ Moore now, right?
Okay.
84th best player in the NFL, which, by the way, is not a bad thing. You're top 100 player, right? He's still on the list.
1,800 players.
Tyreek Hill, not mad at that. 7th, Justin Jefferson, not mad at that. 13th, Jamar Chase, not mad at that. 21st, CeeDee Lamb. I got some questions. but I'll allow it. I'm not mad at that. CeeDee Lamb's a dog. 26, Davante Adams. Okay. A little long in the tooth at this point, maybe, but still a dog. Tough teams. I'll allow it, right? 27th, A.J. Brown. Fine. 39th, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I saw him in person. I'm good here. 42, Jaylen Waddle. Dog. I'm a little question mark, right? He's got the other dog in front of him, but I'll say Jaylen Waddle. Maybe I'll still put him above DJ Moore. 45 is Brandon Ayuk. All right, let's breathe here a second. All right. I love Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm. Consistent and Brandon durable. Ayuk. Very durable.
Brandon Ayuk better than DJ Moore, Lance? Better than
he's very durable. This is a biased opinion, man. Like, you guys, like, don't feed into this. You know what I mean? Don't let it get under your skin. Don't do that. All right.
I don't like when people disrespect the players in my city, dog. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Because here's the next one. 66, Puka Nacua. All right, dog. All right. Now, you know what I mean? Like, that's like the phenomenal rookie season, phenomenal player, belongs on the list. But now it's kind of like, and it's what DJ Moore has gone through for most of his career. Well, he hasn't had the best quarterbacks with him. He hasn't gotten the best yardage because of the, but he's still
making the most of his opportunities. Making the most
no love for the guy making the most of his opportunities. DJ, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but DJ Moore comes in as the 16th best wide receiver on this list. And
this is great for motivation. It's great for motivation. You know, that's how I see this. You look at you say, okay, I'm the 16th. That's what somebody thinks. But see, CBS is attached to it. So that's what CBS thinks about me. And I'm going to change all of those minds this year. To me, that's the best way to look at this is a motivational piece. That's the last bear. To me, TJ Edwards got snubbed. I think TJ Edwards is the top 100 player. You know what I mean? 100%. He played like that. You know, and so if you want to talk about a snub, you know, I'm not sure who this guy is that's making this list, but
it's Pete Prisco, one out. I don't know if I said it. Pete Prisco on this one.
Well, I got problems with Mr. Prisco.
Hey, here's my – you brought up TJ Edwards as your snub. Phenomenal name as well, right? You look at the numbers between him and Roquan Smith. Of course, Roquan, the leader of that defense, different situation. Mm-hmm. But the Bears let Roquan go, and TJ perfectly replaced – those numbers that Roquan was able to provide here in Chicago. So I agree with you, TJ, on that list. My mind didn't even go there because there was one massive name that did get brought up in the honorable mention. So maybe TJ is the biggest snub. But you left 1,200 yards through 13 games off of this list.
Keenan Allen?
You left 7 touchdowns through 13 games off of this list. Keenan Allen is not a top 15 receiver in the NFL. And there's receivers after DJ Moore, so not even top 20. Are you out of your mind?
That's the problem with these lists right here, because you don't know what there's some emotions behind this. He might have did it, you know, last minute and forgot, you know, like but there's no excuse for Keenan Allen because he has name, he has a resume. You know, and it's not like it's different than Montez Sweat. And if you're like, well, he's a new name, you know, let's see what he's got potential. Let's see what he can do. There's room to grow.
Yeah.
You know, Keenan Allen has done the growing. He's growth. All right. He's growth. When you're looking for where you need to go as a receiver, that's the guy you look at. You know, you want to emulate his type of career. So no excuse for him not being on this list. He should be on this list.
To me, that was the one that was just, it was egregious. And I wonder if it's exactly like you said, right? Like, he was like, I got my 100 in, guys. Let me know what you think. And then somebody was like, where's Keenan Allen? He said, oh, shoot.
Shoot.
Put him in the honorable mentions. We going to mention some people at the bottom. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, because there's no excuse for that. And I get it, right? 32 years old for Keenan Allen. He missed the last 3 games, but he literally said, if we were playing for anything, I would have been out there playing, but I was banged up and there was nothing to play for. I wanted to heal so that I could be ready to go in this season. And then not only that, then they come to me and say, hey, you mind taking a pay cut? I'm like, sir, I just put up what?
Correct. Right.
Like,
so
It is interesting when you, as a player, did you ever pay attention to these lists? Did you ever say, okay, like, this where y'all think I'm at? Let me go prove y'all wrong again.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few times where I saw myself shooting the top 100, you know, and I thought I was higher than I should have been. But, you know, listen, I lose no sleep on that. I lose no sleep on that whatsoever. You know what I mean? I get to play the game of football, which is a dream. It is. I love going and doing what I was doing for work, you know? So it's fun to talk about because I know I'm going to get heckled by teammates. Like, hey, you were 86, man. Like, no, there's so many other guys, you know, and all that stuff. Like, that's fine. We joke around about it more so than anything else.
Oh, they be cracking on you if you're not higher up on the list?
Well, you know, they'll talk about the guy that's in front of you or this guy. Dang, that guard is better than you. You know, but it is what it is, man. Like, that's about the extent of it. Like, you don't let that kind of stuff like get under your skin and be sensitive about that stuff.
I think what's funny is being in Chicago, right? Like, we always our premier athlete, we always think of Michael Jordan. And so when like lists back then would come out or stuff would drop, right, about Michael knew what was going on. He was reading it. He would use it. You know what I mean? So in our minds, we always think of the athletes like looking at the newspaper, just like, or I guess the internet, ain't nobody reading the newspaper, but looking at the internet, just like, I'm the 84th best player on this list. And just like, I see you on the field. Yeah, you know I mean? I guess as the fan, we think in that because that's what Mike did, right? He called out all of the reporters in the newsroom. He called out all the people that doubted him even after winning three championships, which is insane. Like, so I guess as a fan, we still think in terms of that. And it is exciting to see your player prove these lists wrong, right? Like, I do agree with you. I think Jalen Johnson finishes this season, if not the best, as a top two DB in this NFL.
Absolutely.
And that to me is like seeing them prove it wrong. I think that makes us feel a sense of pride in our team. And listen, Bears fans, be happy. We got three Bears on this list, 3 years removed from a teardown.
Right.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And where it doesn't change the hope that we have for this season. And,
no.
And when you look on paper and you say, man, we have something like there, the hope for the Bears' success this season is real. You know, there's a lot of moves that were made. Excuse me.
There it is.
Yeah. There were a lot of moves that were made this.
Oh, a three-piece.
Oh, yeah.
A three-piece.
That gave him the Usain Bolt.
I saw that. Shout out to the Olympics.
There were a lot of moves that were made in this offseason, and that got a lot of us Bears fans excited and for a good reason. So none of the players that are on this list or left off of this list will change that excitement for us this year.
No, not at all. I'm going to be honest with you. With how much we've heard about Caleb Williams on all of these lists, I'm surprised he wasn't just thrown in there just because. Yeah, just to get the clicks on it. Yeah, I mean, 98th on the list, Caleb Williams. Wait a minute. Hold on, dog. Hasn't taken a snap yet.
Yeah, if you trolling at its best, then get the internet on fire. That'll get some viral stuff going.
Before we get up out of here, Lance, outside of the CBS list, I saw something very interesting this weekend that I didn't even know was a thing. There are national football leagues, basically, where basically Olympic style leagues for football. And the funniest thing in the world is apparently there's no big people in some of these countries. I saw Brazil this weekend, and I believe they got beat 111-18. The offensive linemen were my size, Lance.
I mean, you got to start somewhere. You know what I mean? You got to start somewhere.
This was not a cool running story, Lance.
This is tackle football. This is full gear.
This is full gear. So this is U-20 National League football. So these are, you know, right on the cusp of college kids. These would be college kids, right? U-20. You're probably sitting most of your 19 and 20-year-olds. Yeah. I didn't even know that this was a league. I didn't know this was a thing that we were doing. Olympic football. Would you ever want to see 11-on-11 Olympic football?
Would I ever want to see it? If it's competitive, yes, but it won't be competitive. Like we're talking 100 years of you, whatever 20 international football with American retired players going over, spending time in all these countries, developing them. And then not only, but you have to, football has to be developed at a young age, just like everything else. Like I say, you know, a lot of them say, hey, man, you want to be a great soccer player, you need to be dribbling every day from age of 6, you know. And so football, you need to start developing them at a young age, too, so that they become, they know how to hit, they know how to run, they know how to move, they know all the ins and outs, you know, of the X's and O's. So the development has to start when you're young. If you're catching these guys that are playing football and they're already 20, you know, it's hard to get them as seasoned as an American football player when there are none of those American football players that are gearing up with them playing next to them.
It's kind of how, right, like in a lot of ways, Olympic-wise and World Cup-wise, America is still kind of behind the eight ball as far as soccer than other countries are, right? Because our best athletes don't go to play that. They go to play football. They go to play basketball. They go to play baseball. And so when you get the phenomenal soccer athletes that we... every time.
Oh, that's that Timo.
That's what you got there? Timo, yo. Every time. It's Tim's, Lance. It's Tim's.
Shout out, Tim. Brother right there.
Oh, okay.
And my daughter.
Shout out Tim right there. But we are always right behind the eight ball as far as soccer or football, as they call it, goes.
Yeah.
That's how the rest of the world would be to America, you think, basically.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the main problem I have with men's soccer, and I think a lot of fellow Americans feel the same way. Like you're a grown man. We can't be taking falls, man. You can't take falls. Like, you know, when I see these grown men on the pitch, when I see them on the pitch, fall right. I'm like, man, listen, you are a 27-year-old man that got shadow kicked in the chin. Like, come on, bud.
They doing the Peter Griffin on the field?
Yes, yeah. That part I'll never agree with. I know that there's a strategy to that, but you got to come up with a better strategy of playing the game.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to kill time so that you can secure a win. Like, secure a win by your gameplay, by your physical toughness, and people will jump on board.
I mean, we watch Luka and Jason Tatum in the NBA Finals every year, and they do the same. To the same thing.
Yeah. It's, you know what I mean? I think there's some incredible skill. You know, there's an incredible skill in the game of soccer. It is, you know, it is fun to watch. I like watching it. I do like watching it, but I understand the gap that a heavy percentage of Americans that form this kind of dislike, you know, for the game. And like, I honestly like watching the women's better. I think the women are a lot tougher.
Oh, 100%. I love that you made that distinction, because I kind of put out a blanket statement that the women are dominant.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I like, because
the men are where we're getting our butts kicked.
They get after it. They're physical. You know what I mean? They pop their butts back up when they can, and they're ready to roll, you know? So it's just different, man. It's different. Once they change that on the men's side, and they, you know, start getting more to, listen, let's tough this thing out and let's figure out a better way to kill the time, or strategically try to, you know, play prevent defense. You know, once we figure that out, like the American fan base will grow even probably 3 times what it is.
Oh yeah. Anytime there's a team we're following, you know, we're going to follow it. And I think that's the biggest difference, is it's like, you know, for years, it's just you watching, it's like, we are going to get our heads kicked in this. And so you have less of an interest in it, right? Like, it's just natural. But when women's soccer comes on, we all are locked in, like literally every time. So it is funny, like, seeing that distinction. I wonder if that would, that's probably why we'll never get it, right? The rest of the world doesn't play football enough for there to be that massive following around it.
We have, but here's the thing. We have so many kids that, and this country, America, one thing that this country does better than any other country in my mind is produce athletes, produce sports and all genres of all, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the one, it's one of the very few things that completely brings our country together is sports, you know? And so, and I live in Arizona, so there's, sports are played year round. So I see so many elite soccer fields and teams and kids running around, you know, the next great or the next great group of American soccer players are coming.
Yeah.
Men's and women, you know, what, you know, the women's always coming, but the next great men's soccer player, he's on the way.
Yeah. I feel like we've gotten more of an emphasis on it now here in America than probably when, definitely when I was growing up, probably when you were growing up as well. Our sports were our sports, right? Basketball, football, baseball. That's what you saw most people play. That's where
We played a lot of soccer in recess or in our break time. We played a lot of soccer when I was growing up.
But it wasn't the one that you were going to go sign up for.
No, this was,
you know what I mean? Like that's what I'm saying. Now we're at a time where it's like people are picking that as their sport of choice versus when I was growing up, right, we would all go play soccer out at recess, and we would play, right, if we were just bored of playing football or baseball at that point, it's like, let's play soccer, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that now you're getting to the point where people are going to say, I'm a good athlete, and I'm going to choose that sport versus I'm a good athlete, but I'm going to go play basketball.
Correct.
Or I'm going to go play baseball.
Yeah. So. And you have a lot of the parents and dads, they can recognize it too, where it's like, listen, like, you're an okay baseball player, but in soccer, you got a gift.
Yeah.
Son, you have a gift, you know, and and soccer also goes into, you get to a certain age and you have to go into the elite, the club stuff. You know, you can't do the house stuff, it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to start at a very young age. So once you start getting to that elite, you know, it's like, son, listen, this is, baseball was fun. But we're going this way. You're gonna be kicking. You're gonna be dribbling and kicking soccer balls in this lifetime.
You're not going to the NBA. Come dribble over here. Ladies and gentlemen, let us know your thoughts in the comments below, man. Appreciate Lance tuning in with us. As always, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let us know your thoughts on the CBS Top 100. Let us know your thoughts on the old, will we see 11 on 11 ever in the Olympics? We get 7 on 7 this year. Right? I think 707, or no, is that 2028? 2028 is 707, whenever summer is. Y'all know what it is.
Yeah.
2028, 707. That's going to be fun. A lot of one-on-ones, Lance.
It'll be interesting.
Lot of stuff you don't look at and go, there's nobody there. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear time. One love. Peace.